Welcome to Rock Football. Mahalik Thompson Stadium is the site. Bob Kump, Glenn Thompson with you here tonight for game number 5. It's another home game for the Rock as they play host to the Lakers of Mercyhurst. And we welcome you. Good evening. A beautiful Saturday night here to wrap up September. I'm Bob Kump, along with Glenn Thompson. I think this is pretty nice football weather. Glenn, what do you think?
If you like 60 degrees and sun, sure, yeah, this is a great football game. it's absolutely perfect fall night. And ready for another great night game here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium against a really tough opponent. I mean, let's be honest, year after year, this Mercyhurst Slippery Rock game is always a really good one, really hard-fought game. So should be an exciting 3 hours of football coming up here.
Absolutely. And a very special night tonight as well here at Slippery Rock University. If you come up, and maybe you'll get some glimpses of it, I'm not sure, on the video broadcast portion, but there is a huge flag hanging over the right end zone from where we're looking at it, from the press box, with the Slippery Rock Volunteer Fire Department hoisting their ladder truck up with that beautiful American flag. It is a special night salute to military and first responders night. And any veterans out there, past or present, any first responders are welcome free admission tonight to the game here at Slippery Rock University. And it's also a special night for some honorees, Slippery Rock University Athletic Hall of Fame inductions this afternoon. And we started to preview that last Saturday, and we'll continue that, wrap up some of the people who were inducted this afternoon, and will be honored tonight at halftime as well. So very special night, but you said this is smash mouth football extraordinaire, Glenn. This is a battle that has perennially just gone down to the wire. Last year, great example of that.
Yeah, last year a 31-28 win for Slippery Rock up at Mercyhurst, but it was one of those games. But last year was a little different, though, Bob. Whenever you look at the stats and kind of think back on last year's game, Mercyhurst only 66 yards rushing on 30 carries last year. So the Rock defense, especially that front seven, did a fantastic job forcing Mercyhurst to throw the football. Unfortunately, their quarterback had a great game. 26 of 40, 326 yards and 2 touchdowns. Back and forth game, a lot going on last year as it came down to the wire. No team ever had more than a 10-point lead at any point in the game. So just a great back and forth, entertaining football game. And I hope for more of the same this year.
Well, the Rock has been pretty good, though, here at home, and we know that. They've won 14 consecutive night games so far, and we've got another night game here tonight. And here at Slippery Rock University, at least, with regard to the Mercyhurst Lakers, the Rock has never lost here. They won the last time they were here, and at that time they were ranked in the top 20, was the Rock. They win 37-25. A couple of years before that, they won 58-34. Another year, 2011, they won 28-21 in a homecoming game back in 2009. The first time they played Mercyhurst here was a 17-16 win. Now, we did have a home game at Michigan Stadium that did not go our way 4 years ago, but we won't talk about that tonight. But just talk about Mahalik Thompson Stadium and the aura that is here at the Rock. This is a pretty good place to be on a Saturday night.
Yeah, and, you know, whenever you think about the past few games between these two teams, and we always say it, Bob, whether it be Mercyhurst, Gannon, even Edinburgh, man, whenever you go up 79, whenever you go up towards Erie, just weird things happen. And just different aspects of the game kind of take weird bounces, and weather is always a big factor. So it is nice to get this Lakers team here at home this year and just make sure that we are not in Erie, where some of that crazy stuff has happened over the past 4 or 5 years.
Well, last week we had Roland Rivers in at quarterback for the second consecutive week. He will be the guy again tonight, and all he did last week was become named the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Offensive Western Division Quarterback of the Week, or the Offensive Player of the Week, with his 6-touchdown performance in 3 quarters, basically.
And you and I were talking pregame, and, you know, listen, I kind of like to look at things from the coach's standpoint. There's always room for improvement. Not that he didn't have a great game. He absolutely did. PSAC West Player of the Week honors, but he's still only completing under 50% of his passes on the season. So you'd like to see him get that completion percentage a little bit more north of 50%. But, yeah, overall, his ability to throw every route, every throw that he needs. So whether it be a soft touch pass down the sideline, whether it be letting it rip down the middle, whether it be a deep ball down the sideline. I mean, he's got all of the throws. He's got every single capability to make those different routes happen, as well as his ability to improvise then. You know, whenever the pocket does break down, his ability to get upfield, make something happen with his legs, and break tackles whenever he's running downfield. I mean, he easily probably broke, I would say, probably around 10 tackles last week against Seton Hill defenders, just his ability to be big and keep the feet moving.
And also in the backfield, Brandon Fuffman had a great game last week. He is going to be in the fold again, but we see number 4, Wes Hills, back in uniform tonight. Will we see him? Well, we'll have to wait and find out. We'll get set for kickoff. Glenn's going to get down and visit with Coach Sean Lutz in a moment here. We're going to take a break, send it back to the studio for a commercial timeout, and then we'll be back with more Rock pregame here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium.
Chair Roofing and Construction.
Is Goofy. And we're about 10 minutes away from kickoff here at Slippery Rock University as the Rockets set to host Mercyhurst on a First Responders and a Salute to Military Night here at Slippery Rock University. And this matchup features, of course, Sean Lutz in his 23rd season overall as a Slippery Rock University coach, a longtime assistant, now third year at head coach, owning an 18-8 record after last week's win over Seton Hill. Marty Schatzel is the head coach at Mercyhurst. It's his 17th year. He owns an 83-97 overall record, but it includes a 62-54 mark since the Lakers joined the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference in 2008, and Marty has been named Coach of the Year in the PSAC West 3 times since that time period. He's a great coach, and this team is always very well coached, very disciplined, and you're going to see, as we talked about, some old school football tonight with tight ends and fullbacks and some big guys trying to punch the ball down the middle of the field. And they'll try to keep that Rock offense off the field as well. We'll talk a little bit about this Rock defense, too. They are making some ranks nationally. But first, let's join Glenn Thompson down on the field with Coach Sean Lutz.
Moments before kickoff, getting set for the game between Slippery Rock and Mercyhurst, joined right now by Rock head coach Sean Lutz. Coach, as always, let's start with the injury update for your team as we get ready for kickoff tonight.
Yeah, we got some good news. We got Colton Robb back from Slippery Rock, starting offensive lineman. Wes Hills is fully cleared. Probably won't start in the game. We'll see how he is with his shoulder. We did lose KD Roberts last week, our starting corner. He's going to be out for about 4 to 6 weeks. So we had some, lost some, kind of go from there.
Coach, Mercyhurst is always a different style a game. Very grinded out, power running, just a different task for your team. They up for the challenge tonight against this Mercyhurst team?
We better be. It is different style of football. They're going to limit you possessions. They're going to have an old school fullback in that offense, and they're going to get that clock down. And when you get the ball, you got to be good at what you do, and you got to make sure that you execute. We got to win the turnover game because these guys won't go away. I like to start on this team fast and get on them quickly, but Coach Schatzel over Mercyhurst, they're a tough, hard-nosed football team. So we've got a big test tonight for sure.
We always talk about how important special teams are to football, and for the past few weeks we've seen some different guys back in your return game and really making some impact plays. It's got to be huge for your offense, getting set up with good field position and making big splash plays on special teams.
Yeah, anytime we got Jermaine Wynn and Eric Glover, a Mark Carter, I feel good about that. And then if they don't want to kick it to him, they kick it a little short. It gives us better field position. We still got one of the best kicker punters around in Jake Chapa. So the difference could come down on special team, and I like our special teams against anybody in Division II, that's for sure.
Coach, should be a great game. We got a great night for it. Good luck against Mercyhurst.
Hey, I appreciate that. Go Rock.
All right, we are inching our way up to the kickoff time here tonight, and you can feel the excitement from Coach Sean Lutz as well. Well, let's talk about that Rock defense, because they've been putting up some pretty impressive stats. As a matter of fact, the Rock defense enters this week ranked 8th in the nation right now in tackles for a loss. 10 per game, 6th in defensive touchdowns with 2, 7th in turnovers gained with 12. And Trey Blandford ranks 10th in the nation in sacks per game and also tackles for loss per game, while Chad Kuhn ranks 16th in the nation in sacks per game as well. And Tristan McDonald led the Rock defense with 8 tackles, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and an interception last week. I guess we'll start calling Tristan McDonald Mr. Turnover, because McDonald currently leads all players in the nation in fumble recoveries and ranks 11th in the nation in forced fumbles. He had a tremendous week last week. And quietly, Tim Vernick from Butler High School has been inching his way up the defensive stat chart. Brad Zephram currently leads in tackles with 25, 3 tackles for a loss. The linebacker, number 1, Kyle Hall, is in there with 22 tackles. He has an interception and also blocked a kick. Trey Blandford has 9 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks on the season, and 21 overall tackles, while Tim Vernick comes in tied with Tristan McDonald with 20 tackles, and both have 3 tackles for a loss. So let's not forget about Tim Vernick. The Rock comes into the game tonight averaging 41 points per game, while they've been giving up 23 and been pretty balanced as well, averaging 165 yards rushing per game and just shy of 300 yards passing. One negative has been the field goals, and that's shocking. Jake Chapla has been perfect on extra points, but they're 3-for-8 on field goal tries, and that'll be interesting to see how it plays out from here on out, because we expect Jake Chapla to be one of the best, not only in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference, but in the nation as well. But he's been solid on those extra point tries, 22-for-22, and when you look back to last year, at this particular point, he has one heck of a streak going on. He's made 53 straight point after attempts so far, dating back to the midpoint of last season. And that Rock return game that you heard Coach Sean Lutz mention with Glenn Thompson down on the field, they've been getting stronger every week. They rank 5th in the nation right now in kickoff return average at 25 yards per return, and also in the top 30 in the nation in punt return yardage at 14, with Jermaine Wynn Jr., Eric Glover Williams, and now Mark Carter in that arena. They've been very, very impressive. Mercyhurst last week had Doug Atavila pass for 174 yards and one interception, but was sacked 5 times in a 34-7 loss at home to number 2 ranked nationally, IUP. Garrett Owens rushed for 90 yards. Austin Hentz caught 7 passes for 120 yards to pace their offense. And that's what you're going to see here tonight, a little smash-mouth football from the Mercyhurst Lakers with Garrett Owens, Theo Blackston also in that backfield. And they've got that Austin Hentz, who is ranking with 18 catches and 261 yards so far this year. For the Rock, starting on offensive line, Austin Waite centers it. Colton Robb is back at right guard. Steve Gaviglia, preseason All-America honors, right tackle. Ryan Podgorski at left guard. Chris Larson at left tackle. And we will also see Wes Hills on the depth chart backing up Braden Fuffman tonight. We'll see who actually comes out with Roland Rivers, who will make that start at quarterback tonight. Great atmosphere here tonight, as it is a salute to military and first responders here at Slippery Rock University's Mahalik Thompson Stadium. I'm Bob Kupp along with Glenn Thompson. Glenn has made his way back into the booth, and quite an atmosphere out there right now. Glenn, looks like it's going to be another great crowd here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium.
Well, one thing is for certain, Bob, as I was making my way back up here, and that's Need more cowbell. I mean, come on. You can't have enough cowbell.
That thing just echoes out through here throughout the stadium. So great to have a packed house tonight. Really big crowd on hand. And, you know, just before we get into the X's and O's and all the, you know, the great football action coming up, you know, I just got to say my piece. Big thanks to all the first responders and all the military out there. You know, salute to service night here at Slippery Rock, and absolutely a you know, puts the game in perspective whenever you talk about what those guys do on a daily basis. So big thanks to everyone in the military and the first responders.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have a little bit of a theme tonight with the coaches out there. They've got the camos on. It looks great. That cowbell, by the way, has an interesting story behind it. And, of course, that's the sounds of Laura Mahalik, yep, who is in the stands tonight with her family. Coach George, the retired Slippery Rock University coach, is here. One of his teams honored as part of that Slippery Rock University Athletic Hall of Fame tonight. So George is down on the field tonight, but Laura's had that cowbell ringing in the stadium arena here for 40 plus years now, so it's good to hear it back tonight.
For anyone who's wondering, because you listen to our broadcast, she's literally right in front of our booth. So, like, whenever you hear that as loud as it is, it's because she's 5 feet from us here ringing that thing. So, and she gets into it too. She doesn't hold back, so it's great to see.
Looks like Mercyhurst has won the toss and they have deferred. They're going to kick it off to the Rock, so the Rock going to come out for the second straight week and get the ball. Another special honor tonight on the Slippery Rock University helmet. They're wearing decals not only tonight but all season long in honor of former Rock kicker and 2015 SRU graduate Brian Shaw. Brian was the officer who was killed while on duty in New Kensington last November. And this week, SRU is recognizing Shaw as part of this annual Salute to Military and First Responders event. His family are in attendance tonight. His parents, brother, and former police chief will serve as honorary captains for the game. They are out on the field right now as we speak. So it's a very special moment tonight, and we remember and thank Brian Shaw for his service. Tragically, he had that service taken away from us last year during a routine traffic stop, and he was shot and killed. It was a terrible, terrible tragedy. Well, we're just about set to go here tonight, and we'll see what this Rock offense does against the Mercyhurst defense right out of the gate. And, Glenn, I think this is a critical game for the Rock. They've really, when you look at it, schedule-wise, record-wise, they truly have not been tested. We know they're going to get a test out of Mercyhurst tonight. They always play as close to the vest. And Mercyhurst has been able to keep many of their games close all season.
One thing that you learn from yourself whenever you play Mercyhurst is just how good you are at executing on every play. Because in the grand scheme of things, over the 60 minutes, Mercyhurst does not make mistakes. They don't do anything to beat themselves. They're beatable. But what you have to do is go out on every play, do your job, know your assignment, and execute on that job. If you do it, you can beat this team. But that's at the end of the 60 minutes, you have a good reflection on, all right, you know, do I have my assignments? Do I know my roles? Am I executing well enough every play? And it's going to be a big test for this green and white team, actually a gray and white team.
Yeah, they've got the grays on tonight, gray uniforms, white helmet with the big green S, and we're set to go. Mark Schaefer will boot it off, back deep, Wynn and Glover Williams, and this one's going the way of Eric Glover Williams at his three. He's up across the 5, 10, 15, hit, snowed under, still on his feet though, and pushing the pile forward across the 20, still alive, out to the 21-yard line. What a great return, physical return by number 19, Eric Glover Williams, and the Rock will start out first and 10.
Yeah, great to see him keep the pile moving almost like a running back in there, you know, just churning the legs, moving initially stacked up around the 15, and they're going to spot it at the 21. So he got a nice 6 yards after contact there on that return.
And it will be Braden Fuffman coming out, number 29 in the backfield, joining Roland Rivers out to the far side, the Mercyhurst sideline, Henry Litwin. And on the near side, we've got Dakota Clanigan and Jermaine Wynn Jr. And we are set to go first and 10 from the 21-yard line. Slippery Rock University will have it first. And we have tight end Jake Cirillo in, and actually Jake's going to switch sides, and that's going to bump number 8 Dakota Clanigan up to the top side, and we've already got a flag
delay of game
here.
You can't have a delay of game on your first play.
Well,
no, they got a timeout. They're going to give a timeout before the delay again. Either way, I mean, come on. You can't, it's your first snap, and you come out and you have to burn a timeout. That's frustrating for an offensive coaching staff. One thing to point out, though, too, slight advantage to the Rock offense here in the first quarter. Because of where the sun's at in the stadium right now, the Rock receivers do not have to look back into the sun to try to find the ball. It will be an issue for these Mercyhurst receivers with where the sun's at. So, you know, a little bit of a field advantage play there going this direction here in the first quarter.
Got a temperature reading right about 62, 63 degrees here at kickoff. That'll go down quick. They're actually expecting it to get into the 40s tonight. A little bit of a light breeze right now as we look at the field. We are looking straight ahead and the wind blowing left to right. The Rock moving right to left right now. So they're going to be moving into the wind for this first quarter. And we're set to go after the timeout. Roland Rivers is going to play action right out of the gate. Inside seam route. He's got Jermaine Wynn and he's on the run. He's across the 50, 40. He's going to be hit and dragged down inside the 30. But a quick hitter right out of the gate for Slippery Rock, and they hit it big to number six. Austin Scott, number six.
And actually, a nice job on the RPO there by Rivers, pulling that one back from Footman and realizing that on the trailing defender, he actually slipped down to the turf. So easy pitch and catch because the defender was 5 yards behind, laying on the ground.
Out to the 30-yard line. Play action again. Now they go to the opposite side, and it's Jake Cirillo, the tight end. He fumbled the ball when he was hit.
He had to be down.
It's dropped on by Mercyhurst. They're going to signal Mercyhurst ball. Jake Cirillo fumbled it as he was hit, and it's Mercyhurst ball.
Oh, man, no way. It seemed like he had easily had to be down.
The officials are talking about this. And I even see...
Here comes the field judge saying he's down. They're signaling he's down.
Ooh,
yeah, that's,
we're going to get a break.
Yes.
By the way, that pass play, and I'm trying to... I thought it was Dakota Clannigan that went up top. And it looked to me like it might have been Austin Scott, but maybe it was Dakota Clannigan.
It was Clannigan on the first play.
It was on... Okay, yeah. So I was right in the first place. Second-guessed myself. Got 6 and 8, and these gray uniforms, just a little bit difficult to pinpoint on the fly. But that was a 50-yard pass play from Roland Rivers to Dakota Clannigan on that first play. Now they say he was down the 2-yard gain for Cirillo. And it's a hit over the middle. And again, this one is going to be caught.
Same
and pulled
exact
in, and it's Dakota Clannigan again for
just from the opposite side of the formation. So obviously the coaching staff likes something that they see on these quick slants in the middle and the interior of this Mercyhurst defense matching up.
It matched up for 9 yards that time. And here's a handoff now. Nope, it's a keep up. It is a handoff to Fuffman, and he goes to the 10-yard line. He'll pick up
a late
looks
flag.
Like 5 or 6 here.
Really late flag comes in right there at the 10-yard line, but Fuffman, really nice job on a
picks up right where he left off last week, and on the first drive throws for a touchdown pass.
So you can do that against an aggressive defense. Mercyhurst, very aggressive. They read the play, they diagnose, and they attack. Well, on that RPO, whenever you have Roland Rivers sitting there putting it in the stomach of Footman, he's got all the linebackers and the safeties collapsing towards the line of scrimmage to try to stop the run, pulls it back, Cirillo's by himself, easy touchdown.
And it's 6-0 Slippery Rock on the first drive, and we're just 3 minutes into the game. Here's the extra point try from Jake Chaplin out of the hold of Mike Merhot. The kick is up and good. He's 23 for 23. So far, the... We'll take a break and come back after this timeout. Slippery Rock up 7-0. Thank you. back here in Mahalik Thompson Stadium and having a microphone problem. We apologize for that. We'll have to eliminate the crowd for tonight, apparently, because we've got an outlet that's not working correctly. Apologize for that. 7-0 is the lead here. Slippery Rock University coming downfield on five plays, 79 yards, and, of course, that big hitter to Dakota Clannigan, Glenn, for 50. That kind of helped set the tone, didn't it?
And really attacking through the air. Only one run on that first five plays. So, really, I think the offensive scheme so far is attacking this secondary, especially in the middle.
And here's the boot from Jake Chapla. Back deep to receive it for Mercyhurst is Dante Redwood, and he comes up across the 10, 15, 20, is hit hard at about the 22, 23-yard line, and that's where Mercyhurst will start out under the direction of Doug Atavilla, the redshirt junior quarterback, number 15, 6'1", 200-pounder.
Yeah, and again, he had 326 yards and two touchdowns against the Rock last year. We're also going to see some other familiar names like Garrett Owens at running back, six carries for 57 yards in that game last season. And then the big guy on the outside, Austin Hentz, five catches, 90 yards, and a touch last year against Slippery Rock, listed here on our two deep as a big boy at 6'5", 210. So basically a tight end playing wide receiver. Basically a linebacker playing wide
receiver. Yeah, really. They've got some big bruisers on this team. That's no doubt about it. I was keeping an eye on Dustin Rogala, who is one of their linemen. 6'6", 340 pounds. This is the front line for Mercyhurst. Rogala, 6'6", 340. Left guard, 6'3", 300. He's a true freshman, too. They've got two freshmen, left guard and center. Their center, by the way, named Jack Lambert. He's from Ohio. 6'2", 315. And then the right side of the line, a little bit smaller, 6'2", 290, 6'1", 265. But they got some bruisers on that top end.
They've always had big bodies. I mean, that's one of the staples of this Mercyhurst roster, is always just to get some big boys out there.
It'll be marked at the 38-yard line. First and 10, Mercyhurst. Good starting field position. And here's the handoff inside, and that's Garrett Owens, who goes into the pile, and that pile pushes forward for 2 yards initially.
Yeah, nice job, though, by the defensive back, Mark Carter, just shooting down the line of scrimmage. He was in the slot, and there was no one lined up on him, so whenever you're assigned a man and there's no man across from you, well, then get down there and run defense, and he comes down and makes the tackle.
Notice here on the near side, number 19, Eric Glover-Williams, starting at cornerback for the Rock. Remember, he made the transition just 2 weeks ago because of injury from wide receiver over to the defensive side of the ball. He gets a start tonight, transfer in from Ohio State. High snap, Atavilla pulls it down, hands it off, and here comes a flag. Was that a flag that
I saw?
Yeah, a
flag came in. It's over there at the 37-yard line. I think we're going to have an illegal formation against Mercyhurst, as they had a tight end not covering up on the outside. So should be, although Mercyhurst is signaling Rock, and they're talking. So they actually know they're going to call offsides. So interesting decision here, though, because you gained 5 yards on the run, but I think you take your 5-yard penalty and repeat the down.
It'll be the first and five as a result instead of second and five. It is offside in favor of the Rock.
So, yeah, they decide to take the penalty. So, repeat second down, second and five now.
So, each team now with splitting penalties. Mercyhurst penalized on that first drive. There, I think we're trying to get the crowd noise for you, but we'll work on that. Got an I formation set up right now, first and five. Atavilla puts a man in motion, and he takes the snap from under center, and he hands it off. Here's Owens, put two hands around the ball and goes about 4 yards before he's stacked up. It'll be second and one for Mercyhurst as they near midfield.
It'll be third and one. They repeated second down, so third and one.
Oh, okay.
Coming here.
Okay, sorry about that. Third and one.
But this is what the Mercyhurst offense is going to do to you, where they're going to move the ball 4 yards at a time, try to lull you to sleep, and then they'll start popping off some play actions, try getting some tight ends out near the sidelines, or releasing some wide receivers downfield.
Here it is. Now he'll go to the shotgun. Actually, pistol formation for Atavilla. High snap, pulls it down, hands it off. Owens goes into the pile right to the first down marker, and I think he has it just by the nose of the football.
Yeah, he's just got it. But again, a nice job on defense here by Dalton Holt, firing up there and chopping off Owens at the legs. Limits the gain to just 1 yard. Unfortunately, that's all they needed. But still, you know, I said it pregame, these linebackers, these safeties, they are going to be big today for this Rock defense, being involved in stopping the run, being up there in that front seven and causing some havoc.
So four straight runs right up the gut from Garrett Owens. Now they'll go play action. Otavilla looks downfield. He throws and has a man wide open. Breaking away from the pack was Clay Waldron, but Otavilla overthrew him. It's incomplete. He had nobody around him.
And there's that play action, Bob. You run, come out, you run three straight runs, and all of a sudden you pull that ball back from the running back, and you had all the linebackers, all the safeties cheating up, and tight end wide open behind them. So luckily, Slippery Rock gets away with a mistake on that one.
Yeah, that was true freshman Mark Carter, who kind of broke down on the coverage there. Now they're going to bring the fullback in and stack him up beside Adavilla in the pistol, and it's play action again. He's looking downfield. Now he's going to dump it off to that fullback or tight end, which is Jeremiah Everett, who's actually listed as a defensive lineman. He pulls it in for 4 yards.
Initially, they were looking for Owens. Owens out of the backfield on a little slip route up towards the Mercyhurst sideline, but Eric Glover Williams did a great job of picking him up out of the backfield and shutting that one off, and so they had to go back across the formation to the fullback.
Rock leading 7-0 at the 10-minute mark of the opening quarter. Mercyhurst on their first drive, and they're moving across midfield into Rock territory. It'll be a third and five now from the Rock 44-yard line. Tight end goes in motion. Adavilla takes the snap, flag flies, throws it downfield. It's going to be thrown too long, and on the intended receiver was Garrett Owens out of the backfield, and he actually was holding on to one of the Rock defenders.
We have two flags. We have a flag at the 30 and a flag at the 50. The flag at the 50 came out right after the snap, and then the flag obviously came out on the wheel pattern down the sideline to Owens. So we have the officials get together here. We might have offsetting penalties and just replay the down.
And Coach Lutz saying it was an uncatchable ball. He's complaining about the other flag, but either way, it's going to go back over and still be third and five. Looked almost like there was just some pushing and shoving going on, and it looked to me like Owens was the guy who was holding on to the Rock receiver and trying to make it look like he was being held.
So the official bails himself out and says it was a holding, not pass interference by the secondary. Doesn't matter if it's catchable or not for a holding penalty. The problem was that the ball had already been thrown. So you can't have a holding when the ball's already in the air by the rule book. So nice job by the official to try to hide that one, but I'm wise to his tricks.
Third and five now again for Mercyhurst. Owens sidecar to Adavilla. He pumps. Now he's going to run. He's got the first down. He's got a little more. Still on his feet. Pushes the ball forward as the flag, another flag comes in. And we're flag happy out of the gate right away here. The ball down to the 36-yard line. So it's a first down. But let's see what it is. It looks like it's going to be another
against Slippery Rock on a run play? Why in the world would a Slippery Rock player be holding on a run play?
The officiating crew here tonight, led by referee Kevin Ricks. And right out of the gate, the hankies are flying.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that, as we said, Mercyhurst does not beat themselves. This is a Mercyhurst team.
Yeah, they're going to decline that penalty because of the first down run by Adavilla.
Mercyhurst team that only averages 5.8 penalties per game for 54 yards. So this is a team that doesn't make mistakes. Again, they're not going to beat themselves.
Number 14, ran the ball for 14 yards. And it's down to, actually spotted it back now at the 36. We'll give him 10. And it's first and 10, Mercyhurst. Here's Adavilla. He's going to throw it to the outside. Far side pass to Cortez Watson, who pulls it in but is immediately hit and dropped after a three-yard grab.
Yeah, nicely diagnosed there by Tristan McDonald from the outside linebacker position. Was able to get out there, whiffed on the initial tackle, but did enough to slow down the ball carrier so the rest of the defense could get out there. And that's one thing that you really look for from a linebacker in college football is the ability to read a play right off the snap. He saw screen the whole way, fired out there, and was causing some havoc there before the receiver even really had the ball.
Second down and 8 for Mercyhurst. They are at the Rock 34. Hand off Owens. Goes up the gut, and he is hit immediately by the Rock in the interior of that defensive line.
I'm not sure what Owens was doing because they pulled the left guard on that play to come around, so it was a run to the right, and he cuts it up the middle. And there's two Rock defenders waiting for him. That's just a bad decision by the running back. He needs to follow his blockers out in front of him.
Looked like might have been Tim Suave in on that first. So no gain. It'll be third and eight. In motion now goes Joe Carbone, tight end. Otto Villa drops back, has time, throws, dumps it off to the outside to Owens. He breaks a tackle, goes out of bounds, and let's see where they spot it. He's going to be well short of that first down. This is probably going to be a four-down territory move, though, as the ball is down to the 29, a gain of four.
Yeah, I mean, the offense isn't even flinching right now, so they're going to stay on the field for a fourth and three coming up here. And, boy, I mean, besides that one play action that we saw early in the drive, everything that is being thrown by Altavilla right now is right at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he is not trying to test this defense and stretch them downfield at all.
They're going to go double receivers on the near side. Austin Hentz alone up top. Owens sidecar to the left of Altavilla, and he takes the snap, drops back, looks, fourth down play, across the middle, and incomplete. Good coverage that time by Slippery Rock, Dalton Holt on the play, and it's going to be a turnover on downs. The Rock defense forces the ball back to the Rock offense.
Yeah, Altavilla threw that ball about 2 yards out in front of his receiver, but as you said, Bob, even if it was on target, Holt was right on the guy's pocket, so he was going to be able to knock that one away anyway. So bad throw, good coverage, everything worked out. Nice job by the Rock defense after being on the field for quite a few minutes and sustaining a long drive of preventing points and getting the ball back to the offense.
Well, that was a 12-play drive by Mercyhurst that comes up empty and turns it back over to the Rock, first and 10, and they'll be at their own 29-yard line. Here's Roland Rivers, screen pass to the near side, and it's pulled in by Jermaine Wynn Jr., and he goes out for about 8 yards near the first down marker. They're going to say it's nine.
Nice job on the outside there by Carnell Harley getting upfield and really doing a good job of sealing that block. That way, Jermaine Wynn can just go right behind him and get upfield for positive yardage. Good gain on first down. Maybe take a shot here on second and short.
Wes Hill's in the background. He's in the backfield with Roman Rivers, and he takes the handoff, and he avoids a tackle. Goes up over the 40 for the first down, and in up to the 44-yard line, he picks up a quick 8 on his return to the backfield.
Okay, so that's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see him get into the game, take a hit, take contact. He lowered his shoulder a little bit that one, so he brought on the contact, goes down to the turf, and he jumps right back up, no problem at all.
Here we go, first and 10, Slippery Rock. Play action. Rivers, the ball's tipped at the line, almost still pulled in by Carnell Harley.
It wasn't meant for Carnell Harley. That was Mike Merhot's ball coming from the slot, but because of the tip, ended up falling to Carnell Harley, almost crowded in. Luckily, though, it doesn't fall to a Mercyhurst defender.
It is an incomplete pass. Clock stop at 6:57, second and 10 now. Ball at the 44-yard line of Slippery Rock. They're up 7-0 here in the first quarter. Got the ball back on a turnover on downs forced by their defense. Now here's a handoff, Will Hills. He's got some running room. He dices. Inside, goes up the seam and across the 50. And you can see he's upset with himself because he felt he had a breakaway going. But he gets the ball into Mercyhurst territory to the 49.
Yeah, last man, Henry Caldwell, comes in there and just trips him up from the corner spot. Otherwise, he was gone.
For third down and about four now for the Rock. Number four, Wes Hills back in after a shoulder sprain.
I think you go right back to him here on third and short.
Let's see what they do. Sidecar, handoff, Rivers, and he goes into the pile, and he pushes that pile right across the first down marker.
Let's hope Carnell Harley gets up.
He got kind of snowed under. He was the blocker out front there. It is a first down, though. Wes Hills with the carry to the 45.
Yeah, Hills, I mean, obviously, he's fresh. Legs are fresh. So on third and short, that's why I'm saying just give it back to him. I mean, he's been sitting out 2 weeks. The guy's eager. He's hungry. Fresh legs. Feed him the rock.
Jakar Berry will replace Hills now in the backfield. And he'll take the handoff, and he goes right up the seam. He's got a first down near it. Now they're going to say his knee went down 8 yards out. But the Rock running game right now looking very strong against the Lakers defense.
And you know why, Bob? Because look who was out in front of Jakar Berry, number 68, Colton Robb, on that play. 5 yards downfield, closing off the linebacker. Great job by the offensive lineman getting upfield and getting the block.
And they say he got nine. Oh, here's a bad snap. Weldon Rivers pulls it down. Now he's going to run around and just try to save his life here. And they're going to lose 5 yards as a result. Back to the 40-yard line. Boy, that one popped right up over top of his head.
Yeah, it kind of came in right at the face mask. Popped straight up in the air. And what are we looking at here? We're looking at a Rock offensive lineman down on the turf.
And let's see who it is. Let's see if we can grab a number. And he's pounding the turf. That's number 77, Austin Waite, the center.
I thought I saw 72, Bob. Podgorski.
Yeah, it is. Yep, Brian Podgorski is down. He is the starting left guard. And he was kind of pounding the turf, so he's in some pain. And that would be a big loss because they actually have had to shuffle some guys around on that Rock offensive line this year, in particular with Chris Larson moving over to left tackle. Tony Pilato, number 66, a redshirt junior, 6'6", 325, is the backup, and we'll see if he comes into the game.
And you get Colton Robb back and two series into the game, you lose a guy, or hopefully you don't lose him, but he gets a little banged up, so... Oh, he's up and walking off on his own, though, a little gingerly, but walking off with no help. So
let's see who they bring out. They do bring out Tony Pilato into the game to replace him. Tony is a redshirt junior out of Hempfield High School. So bad snap, lost the Rock 5 yards. And now here's a handoff, and it's Wes Hills back into the game. He's got some running room down the sideline. First down and more inside the 30, down inside the 20, down to the where they're going to spot it, 16-yard line. Big carry by the big back, Wes Hills of 19 yards.
Great field vision, nice bounce out. But more importantly, Bob, the thing I like most about that play was that he took himself out of bounds. I mean, you got a guy coming back. He's fighting back from a shoulder injury. So instead of taking that unnecessary contact, steps out of bounds, saves the hit.
First and 10, Slippery Rock. They're on the move. They're up 7-0. Here's play action now. Roman Rivers inside seam route. It's broken up. Henry Litwin was the intended receiver, but right there was Rocky Owens, a linebacker on the coverage, and he actually had a better shot at picking that off than Litwin.
It's a straight timing pattern, so all Roman Rivers is doing his drop and then firing to a spot, and he's just got to hope his receiver gets there. So obviously something with Litwin, either tripped up off the line or just for some reason half a second late, almost into the waiting hands of the defender.
Litwin is up top, along with Mike Merhot, who's in the slot. Carnell Harley near side. Sidecar right for Hills. And here's Roman Rivers, and he's going to fumble the ball, but it's picked up by Wes Hills, and he carries it across the 15. Lucky bounce, and right man at the right time takes it down to the 14, picks up 4 yards on what could have been a disaster.
Yeah, really an ill-advised play by Roland Rivers as he was wrapped up, and as he was going down to the turf, decides to try to force that one out to Wes Hills. Granted, it worked out, but you can't risk it like that.
Yeah, he was immediately hit. He went so forward on that play that it was breaking up. Almost looked like he was going to keep it up the middle. That was his intent. Saw that there were some Lakers there and tried to get rid of it. Third and 6 now at the 14. Wes Hills remains in. He'll be sidecar left to Roland Rivers. Same formation on the receivers. Roland Rivers dropping back. Has time. He's hit as he throws it. And it is going to be incomplete. Henry Litwin tried to come back, or was that Merhot? I believe it was Merhot trying to come back for that. No, it was Henry Litwin on the far side, and he just couldn't come up with it. It's incomplete.
Just a half a second too long because he was getting hit as he was stepping in to deliver that ball. I think, if just another half second, that ball gets out clean, is right on the numbers, and Litwin has an easy first down, but not to be on that play.
Now we're going to try a field goal out of the hold of Mike Merhot. It'll be a 32-yard attempt by Jake Chapla to extend the Rock lead to 10. Near hash, the near hash being the Rock sideline. Good snap, low kick, and they got a finger on it, I believe. And it's no good. Jake Chapla's woes continue kicking the ball on the field goals. And I don't know if a hand got knocked on that or if he just didn't get the connection, Glenn. It looked like it might have been tipped or it just was poorly struck, but it's no good.
It was just poorly struck, watching the replay there. Either way, though, you're sitting now. Both these defenses feel pretty good because the last two possessions, you had the offenses moving down the field on long, sustained drives, and both come up empty-handed.
So the drive for the Rock. 12 plays, 57 yards. And actually, they did spot that as a 31-yard field goal attempt missed by Jake Chaplin. Now here's Mercyhurst, first and 10. Garrett Owens, a play broken up. He's trying to get to the outside, but this is going to be a big-time tackle for a loss. Inside the 15, down to the 14-yard line. They're going to lose 6 yards on this.
Yeah, had to stretch it out because Trey Blanford was into the backfield pretty much right as Owens got the ball. Trey Blanford shot out of a cannon off that snap. Didn't make the tackle, but because he was back there, you had Owens trying to stretch it out, get beyond him, and then the whole play was just blown up from there. So great job by Blanford.
And now it'll be a second and very long. Ball inside the 15. And here's play action out of Ealing. He's got to roll out. He hits his man, loses the ball.
No way.
They're going to say
incomplete.
He caught it.
Incomplete. No, here comes the other. Yeah.
Okay. Marcus Plackey receives it, but he put the ball on the turf. And there's going to be a discussion here, but I think they're going to call this incomplete.
Yeah, two out of the three officials are saying incomplete. The head judge, who was the one who initially called a catch, is that's twice tonight, though, Bob. I mean, I'm happy to see that we had the officials get together, you know, talk it out and get the call right.
Boy, Jake Chaplin now 3 of 9 on field goals this year. He is struggling in that department. Third and 16 now after the incompletion. Trip receivers near side. Out of Ely. He's looking that way. Now he's looking back up top, and he'll throw it up top. Has a man going downfield, incomplete. That's Owens again on the backfield, and he is really good at trying to draw a flag as he waves his arms and tries to allege that Brad Zaffram, the linebacker on the coverage, was tying him up, but it was incomplete, and it's going to be a...
No, there's a flag down.
We got a flag back here.
20-yard line.
They say they say it's against the Rock now. I didn't see the flag until we looked back to see what was going on because the punter was not coming on the field. So the pass downfield incomplete, but we've got a flag here. What is this? Back at around the 20.
And Tim Vernick is kind of running around shaking his head. So
going to call the Rock for a holding, maybe? I'm not hearing the referee.
Personal
again.
Foul against against Vernick, but they didn't make any signal of whether it was like a horse collar or roughing the passer. He didn't make any signal. He just made the personal foul signal. So
instead,
not sure.
Instead of a punting situation, it's going to give Mercyhurst a first down and move the ball out to the 29.
I'll see if we can get some help here from the booth, but I don't know what the call was.
Trip receivers again to the near side for Atavilla. He'll have sidecar left in Owens. Man-on-man coverage up top. Austin Hentz is there. And here's the pass. They're going to throw a dump-off play to Owens. He breaks a tackle. He's got a first down. He's going down the sideline, knocked out of bounds as he gets into Rock territory at about the 48-yard line. Let's see where they say he went out. Yeah, maybe the 49. So just across midfield. Boy, he broke that tackle and just had enough room to get up into that mid-yard territory.
Bob, we've seen 12 minutes, 13 minutes of Mercyhurst football this year, and it's pretty plain to see that this offense goes through Jake Owens. I mean, there's no one else that is more important to or Garrett Owens, I'm sorry. Jake Owens is a country singer. But everything goes through 21.
And now they hand it off, and it's a sweep play, and he's forced to the outside. And I think Brad Zaffram got there first, pushed him further out, and it's going to be a loss back into Mercyhurst territory.
A really late flag comes in as both the teams are starting to walk back towards the middle of the field. And you have a Slippery Rock player shaking his head as if it's against him. And that's number 32, Tim Suave.
And, yep, it's going to be against the Rock again. This might be another personal foul. Let's see what the call is.
Coach Lutz is giving it to him down there on the sideline.
It's a dead ball, unsportsmanlike conduct against the Rock. And it's going to be another, instead of a backward play and a tackle for a loss, it's going to move Mercyhurst deep into Rock territory.
Suave comes right back and sits down here on the bench. So, I mean, he's... obviously, Coach Lutz told him to sit down for a little bit because now that's 30 yards in penalties. That Slippery Rock defense has given up on this drive.
And they have just been beset by these penalties. Atavilla now goes with a screen pass. Hits his tight end. And he's got first down yardage. as he moves Theo Blackston the third across the 30 down to the 28-yard line. That'll be a gain of 10.
It'll be enough for the first down. And we've seen this for years against this Mercyhurst team where they really try to attack the flats and really try to, you know, get the running backs and the tight ends in that 5 to 10-yard sideline patterns.
So it'll be first and 10 at the 28-yard line. And out of Avila has his Laker offense on the move, taking advantage of two big penalties. And he's going to go for the end zone, throws it downfield, and the nearest receiver is actually a guy in gray and white on the coverage for Slippery Rock was Devion Franklin. And he was trying to catch Austin Hentz, but he way overthrew that.
Well, it was a really nice recognition by Franklin, because as soon as he saw the ball was overthrown, he just left the receiver and tried to run underneath it and try to go catch it himself. So nice recognition and a nice job by the defensive back of keeping his eyes on the quarterback, which is what you should be doing. Keep an eye on the quarterback.
Second down and 10 now. They stack the fullback up to the left side of Atavella with Owens to his right. Play action. Throws it incomplete. He wanted to hit Theo Blackston. He wants a flag saying he's being held, but that ball is incomplete, and it'll be third down very quickly.
Well, with how many flags they've been throwing against Slippery Rock so far in this game, I mean, you're kind of training the Mercyhurst players to say, okay, well, if we don't get a positive play, then we're just going to get a penalty out of it, and no call on that one.
I think every pass play that they've thrown toward a running back, they've been claiming penalties. They've wanted a flag every time. Third and 10 now from the 28-yard line of the Rock. Mercyhurst, led by Doug Atavilla, he's in the pistol. Takes the snap. He drops back, looks downfield. He's going to dump it off to Owens, who catches it, grabs it at the 20. He's going to be shy of the first down. It'll be fourth down and 3.
Yeah, this is not an offense built for third and 10. So obviously, this deep in Slippery Rock territory, it was going to be four down territory. So the idea was just try to get some positive yardage there on third down and set up a more manageable fourth down attempt. But it looks like they are going to bring the kicking unit out and attempt a field goal.
So they'll try to take the goose egg off the board with Mark Schaefer Jr. And, boy, you know, and you have that big Austin Hentz. Man, I'd be throwing the ball his way every single time, but they don't seem to want to do that.
Well, it's one thing to be big, but if you're not running good routes, if you're not getting separation, if you don't have great hands in contests, then they'll stay away from them.
Mark Schaefer, 3 for 5 this year. He's attempting a 37-yard attempt from the near hash.
Delay
a
game.
The ball is kicked and no good, but a flag comes down.
Yeah, delay a game.
He pushed it to the left.
Well, it's a delay game.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because they're going to push him back 5 yards. So,
since being a pre-snap penalty, you can't decline it and take the missed field goal. You assess the 5 yards and
push him back now across the 30 to the 32, make it a 42-yard attempt. And this is again from the near hash. Let's see if he's able to strain it out at all. And from this range, he has not hit a field goal yet this year. And here is another flag. And Mercyhurst guys are pointing toward the Rock.
The Rock guys are pointing towards Mercyhurst, so.
And they're clapping their hands, so this might be against Mercyhurst again. It is an illegal motion.
Yeah, I think you had Mark Carter for Slippery Rock give a nice little jump right there at the line of scrimmage, and it was enough. He never crossed. It was enough to get one of the offensive linemen to flinch, and now we have a whole change in philosophy here as the offense is coming back out on the field for the Lakers.
Because the ball now pushed back to the 30-yard line. And so instead of
12.
Going deeper into the 40s as far as a field goal attempt, they'll make it a offensive try here on 4th and 12. They bring running back Frederick Green into the backfield without Avila now. Trip receivers up top for the quarterback. He's in the pistol. He takes the snap, looks downfield. Now he's pressured, and he's going to be spun around by Trim Suave and doesn't get rid of it. Garrett Owens gets it downfield, tips it, drops it. They almost had an opportunity to blow the whistle there. Suave's really barking at the official. He felt he had him wrapped up, but Atavilla was able to stay on his feet and get rid of the ball, and it's incomplete.
What a gamer. I mean, and that's a compliment to Atavilla, because he just did a nice job of keeping on his legs, kind of kept resetting his footing, kept looking downfield and got a throw off, So Alta Villa does a nice job, but overall, even better job by the Rock defense, again, of letting this Mercyhurst team drive pretty deep in their own territory, but then shutting them down with no points.
So second consecutive drive, Mercyhurst has turned it over on downs, and the Rock starts out first and 10. It's a play action fake to Fuffman. Now Rivers dumps it off, and he's got Jermaine Wynn, who's got a first down across midfield into Mercyhurst territory. Second time tonight they've hit number 9, Jermaine Wynn, on a big pass play.
And Bob, great job by Roland Rivers, because you could see there that his instinct was to take off because the pocket started to collapse, but he hung in there, stayed in the pocket, trusted his offensive lineman, and allowed that route to develop. So nice job by Rivers of staying calm in the pocket.
24-yard grab, first and 10 Rock. Rivers looks downfield, looks around, dumps it off again, and he's got his tight end, Zach Cirillo. He's got another first down, picks up 12 inside the 35 to the 33.
He did it again. You saw he gave like a little flinch forward, and then all of a sudden he stops and stands back up, stays in the pocket, keeps scanning, and finds his tight end wide open in the middle of the field.
Gain of half the 24, a gain of 12, first and 10. Hand off Fuffman. No, he goes play action again, and this time he hits Austin Scott, and he's near the first down marker. Let's see where they spot it. This might be another Rock first down. 10 yards, he got it.
RPO, and you actually had Colton Robb, after the completion, running behind the receiver downfield blocking somebody. So nice job by Colton Robb. Great to have him back.
Yeah, the Slippery Rock High School product missed last week with an injury. Good to see him back on the field. First and 10, Slippery Rock there on the move. Here's now play action again. Rivers, he wants the end zone this time. Now he's going to pull it back. He's got a lot of time. Here comes a flag. He's avoiding a sack. Rolls out, still alive, still running. Now he's going to run upfield inside the 20, thrown out of bounds. But what's the flag all
about?
It's going
to be holding against Slippery Rock, so it's all going to come back. And it's going to be the end of the first quarter because the quarter can end on an offensive penalty, so we'll reset and start second quarter.
It is a hold against the Rock. And so the penalties are just stacking up once again. Been amazing how many penalties that this Rock team has been pulling up every time. This is the fifth one of the first quarter already.
Yeah. Oh, there will be one on time down?
Okay, they're going to do an untimed down. It was a result of the penalty.
I thought it was that you just couldn't end on a defensive penalty, but
I don't know what's going on with the referee microphone, but that's 2 weeks in a row we've not been able to pick it up. You hear some echoes. It's almost like there's a speaker out on this side or something. Just not getting it. But anyway, it'll be a first and 20 now for the Rock as they move the ball back to the 32. And Rivers is going to hand it off this time. Braden Fuffman goes across the 30, 25. Boy, this guy's just a straight-ahead runner, isn't he? He's been carrying the ball 8 yards per carry, and he didn't leave anything shy there as he picked up a good 12.
Just, a downhill runner. A guy who's really good at trusting your blockers. He sees the blocking set up in front of him, hits the hole hard, and trusts that his guys are going to hold those blocks long enough for him to get upfield. Just an absolutely really impressive runner.
So that's the end of the first quarter. The Rock leads it 7-0. And they are driving into Mercyhurst territory and will return with more Rock football coming up in a moment after a 1 minute timeout. You're listening to Slippery Rock University football on The Rock Station 97.7. Very quickly, we're back, and Roland Rivers is back deep, and he throws a touchdown pass to, I believe, Austin Scott. Is there a flag? And, oh boy, Wes Hills, in blocking in the backfield, goes down to the turf. Or no, that's not Wes Hills. I'm sorry. That's another Rock offensive lineman. Number 79, Chris Larson, is now down. So right out of the break, as we started the second quarter, but we had the ball being brought back. So obviously there was another flag.
Incomplete. No, it was they're just saying out of bounds. Yeah.
Oh, he didn't must have been juggling.
Didn't tap the toe in bounds.
Roland Rivers had some time. He was about to get hit, and he got rid of that ball. And now Chris Larson.
Wow.
He's hobbling off the field, and this is going to be a big loss because they shoved him over to left tackle this year early. Well, that happened during game one. And the big 6'4", 325-pounder is hobbling off the field, and looks like he might be favoring his right leg, might be an ankle area. We'll see. Brad Schaefer, 6'4", redshirt sophomore, is the backup to Chris Larson. Let's see if number 78 comes into the game. So it'll be third down and 9 now for the Rock. In motion goes Braden Fuffman. He'll take the screen pass. He receives it. Goes across the 20. Puts his head down. He's going to be short of the first down as he's dropped at about the 18-yard line.
Another flag.
We've got another flag on the field. We've had a flag. I think we might have had maybe 3-4 plays all night that haven't had a yellow hanky.
Illegal hands to the face against Mercyhurst, it looks like, is the signal, which is going to be a personal foul, automatic first down. Let's see what the call is here officially, but that's what I thought I saw, the official calling.
Or I see a hold. It was the moat.
Personal foul?
Oh, hands to the face. You called it. I thought I saw the back judge holding his arm, but he's actually motioning that it was a hand to the face.
And that's huge because you had a fourth down situation upcoming for the Rock offense, and instead, fresh set of downs inside the 10.
Well, that moves the Rock into a first down and goal. It moves the ball to the 9-yard line as a result of the penalty. Braden Fuffman will remain sidecar left to Roland Rivers, who's in the shotgun, takes the handoff. And Fuffman piles. He just waited for the blocking to set up perfectly and then punched it forward to the 2-yard line. That'll be a gain of 7. You've got to love what you're seeing out of number 29, Braden Fuffman, this year.
He doesn't dance, man. I mean, he gets upfield. I love that. That's a very old-school way of running the football.
7-0 Rock, and they're knocking on the door. Fuffman, no, he gets crunched this time. They were waiting for him, and he goes no gain. He actually probably lost a couple of inches there as the Lakers saw that one, sniffed it out. They saw Corbin Kessler in there right away. And
So I say show that same look, but have Roland Rivers pull that one back from Fuffman and curl out to the outside of the line, try to go off tackle.
Let's see what they do. They're going to go third and goal from the 2 now. And you got double receivers up on the top side with a tight end. And here's the keeper. Rivers gets to the goal line.
Touchdown.
And he got in. Is that Rivers? I thought he kept
it. Yeah, it was Rivers. And as he was stacked up at the line of scrimmage, he kind of gets turned around. And as he gets turned around, reaches the ball out with his right hand. And as soon as it crosses the goal line, it's 6. So nice job by Rivers of knowing where he was on the field and getting that ball across the goal line.
So the Rock goes up now 13-0. On the 9th play of the drive, Roland Rivers, second week in a row, he rushed it in for a touchdown from 1 yard out. That was a 70-yard drive for Slippery Rock. Now the extra point try for Jake Chapla. Good snap and a good hold, and he puts it up and through, and the Rock has now taken a 14-0 lead at the 13:37 mark of the second quarter. We'll take a 30-second timeout. Come right back with Rock football and the kickoff. In a moment, you're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on The Rock Station 97.7. And we're back here, ready for the kickoff. Nine penalties, Glenn, in that opening quarter. It slowed the process down, that's for sure. But the Rock up 14 to nothing now with Roland Rivers. And last week he had six touchdowns. He's got two so far tonight.
And just to note there on that extra point, Chris Larson's still being looked at by the training staff, but Podgorski was on the field, number 72, for that extra point attempt. So he had left earlier in the first quarter. Good to see him back out there.
And here's the boot from Jake Chaplin. And it's going to be taken by Dante Redwood, who comes across the 10, 15, skirts to the outside. He's got running room. 20, 25, 30, hit, puts a shoulder down on one of the Rock defenders. Knocks him down as he goes across the 35 to the 36-yard line. He's stiff-armed Elijah Jackson. That's a big man running right there. Dante Redwood, 5'10". He looks all of 200 pounds.
Okay, but here's the thing for the Rock defense now. As you come back out in the field, know where Garrett Evans is. Of the 58 yards of offense that Mercyhurst had in the first quarter, Garrett Owens accounted for 45 of it. So only 13 yards came from other players on the roster. You have to know where 21 is.
And the crazy thing is, he's rushed for negative 4 yards. Here's a handoff now, and this is not Garrett Owens. Into the backfield now is Frederick Green, and he goes maybe a yard. I don't even think he got a full yard.
They're going to give him a half a yard, so a positive gain, but interesting to me that Garrett Owens isn't on the field. After he was your sole source of offense in the first quarter, he's over there with his hands on his hips at the 30-yard line.
He's got 6 carries for negative 4 right now, but 3 catches for 35 yards. Trip receivers up top, led by Austin Hentz. And it'll be 2nd down and 9 for Mercyhurst, who trail by 2 touchdowns. And it's play action. Otavila, he's looking big. He's looking downfield, has a man, and it's caught and knocked away. Marcus Plackey had it in his hands, but he couldn't pull it in as he hit the turf.
We have another flag, though, and they're signaling by the back judge again. And Bob, if this is going to be one of those nights where we're going to have a penalty every other play, then everyone better buckle up, because yeah, we're going to be here for about 5 hours at this pace.
It's against Mercyhurst, so it's going to move them backward. It's
half interference against the offense.
Wow.
That's
the 10th penalty of the game.
I didn't see anything, but sometimes you just get these officiating crews that are just in the mood to stretch out their arms a little bit, and so they want to be throwing some flags. And
that's Troy Zuccaro, who's the back judge. We have seen some awful officiating this year, that's no doubt. Last week, not so much.
I don't know if that's a bad call necessarily. It gets to a certain point where you don't have to call a penalty every time.
Right. Well, nonetheless, it moves Mercyhurst way back, and they hand the ball off to, Frederick Green, and he's stacked up as he crosses the 20 to the 21. He'll pick up 3.
And on a 2nd and long, they go to a run play, and now you have a 3rd and 21 upcoming for this Mercyhurst offense. I'm surprised that they didn't go to the air on that 2nd down play to try to get some chunk yardage and try to cut into this a little bit.
You know, it's amazing, Glenn, how this Mercyhurst offense, and you know, Doug Otavila, I mean, he's been a starter on this team 2 full seasons at least.
Yeah.
And the progression is just not there for them to be a comeback offense from the appearance. He has very limited repertoire from what he's showing anyway, unless he's trying to lull you, which they have a tendency to do. And here's a throw inside, and it's knocked away.
Saffron absolutely blew that play up, diagnosed it the whole way. And right as the running back, number 4, Cortez Watson, turns and puts the window up for the ball, Zaffram's right there on his back, separates him from the ball. Great diagnosis by number 1.
And there you are with a 3rd and 21, Glenn, and they're dumping the ball off.
Well, that's a
4-yard play.
That's a give-up play. Often on a 3rd and long, you see a team run a screen pass. What was more surprising to me was on 2nd down, them running the ball and not trying to throw it on 2nd down. But Hey, not my call to make.
Eric Glover-Williams is going to be the guy back deep. Nope, that's Jermaine Wynn, actually, standing at his 40. And we're going to have a good field position out of this. He has to come up, catches it, and, oh, boy, gets clocked right as he pulled it in at the 50.
And, there,
and
yeah.
we've got flags galore coming down. That was a dangerous play because Jermaine had to come up. It was a short kick, and he had to go on the run and literally kind of shoelace the pickup right at the 50 and was hit hard and dropped. And we've got yellow hankies everywhere.
That one I agree with. That one was absolutely a late hit. As the play was well over for at least a couple seconds, and then all of a sudden you have another Mercyhurst player come in there and throw a shoulder, actually pretty high on Wynn, up near his helmet area. So I wonder if they're not maybe discussing targeting because it was definitely late. Now they have to try to talk about the intent.
And this is usually a very disciplined team, the Mercyhurst Lakers. And it is a personal foul. We can't. Can you decipher what he's saying? I don't think they call it targeting. It's so hard to hear him right now, and for whatever reason. Oh, they are going good. It is a targeting play, and they're going to eject the Mercyhurst
player. I
don't
know the number. I apologize. I missed the number on it. But, yeah, they are going to call targeting. And, again, it was a shoulder right to the helmet of Wynn as he was laying on the turf. So I think that's a good call. It's just one of many tonight.
And Mercyhurst only averaging 54 yards per penalties per game. They've had 23 this far in four games. So that's 5 to 6 a game, which, you know, you can manage that. And that's what you usually see out of Mercyhurst. But already here tonight, they've got their average.
A pretty telling sign, Bob, is whenever my wife is texting me if there could be any more flags in this game. So
36-yard line is where they're going to spot this now as a result of that. So instead of starting at the 50, they move it inside. So they would say
42. Here he comes. Yeah. He's coming off of the over here. So number 42 from Mercyhurst, and that is Kaz Struna.
Oh, wow. So instead of being, they said Wynn would have been down at the 49, they move it up to the 36-yard line. So first and 10, Slippery Rock, and they're up 14-0. Okay, great field position. Roland Rivers going to start out. He's got Wes Hills, sidecar left. Here's the snap. He's going to drop back. He's going to dump it off to Wes Hills. He pulls it in. He's got running room. He's going to avoid a tackle. Got the first down and gets down to the 20-yard line. And a very quick pickup of 16 yards.
Yeah, and actually tries to get six more yards out of it because he easily could have gone out of bounds right at the first down marker, gotten the first down, but cuts it back towards the middle of the field and gets another 6 or 7 yards out of it.
Good to see the product out of Wildwood, New Jersey, back in the backfield for Slippery Rock. First and 10. And now they'll play action, throw it inside, and that one's knocked away.
Yep, tipped in the line of scrimmage, I believe, number 95 for Mercyhurst. Matthew Hudson, the defensive lineman, getting in there, knocking that one down.
So incomplete second down. And again, 14-0 the score in favor of Slippery Rock. We're at the 11:15 mark of the second quarter. Here's Roland Rivers. He's going to dump it off. And that is his tight end, Zach Cirillo. Or no, that's A.J. Alexander in for Cirillo. And we've got more flags coming down. And a Mercyhurst Laker who was down. That play went for about 5 yards, but hold on.
Oh, he's got to get off the field. Number two, he's wobbly, losing his balance. They got to get him to the sideline. They can't let him stay in the game.
Yeah, that's Dante Rodriguez, and as a matter of fact, Henry Caldwell, defensive back, coming over to talk with him to make sure he's okay, and they are going to wave him. And he's trying to wave off. They got a guy coming on for him, but he's trying to wave him off.
Whenever he tried to stand up, he fell to the turf and rolled over. So obviously he's feeling a little dizzy after that.
Looks like it was an ineligible receiver downfield. Against Slippery Rock, is that what they called?
To be honest, I was more interested in watching Rodriguez and what he was doing.
So we move the ball back, and it'll make it more of a, it looks like second and, where are they going to spot this? Second and 15 now? Roland Rivers with a touchdown plunge tonight for the second week in a row. In the first series of the game, he hit Jake Cirillo and on a four-yard touchdown pass. That's why we have a 14-0 lead. A lot of discussion going on here about this penalty.
Well, and Bob, just right now you have Chris Larson going into the locker room for Slippery Rock.
Boy, your left tackle down, and that's not good. The line has been beset by injuries this year, the offensive line.
We might be done with this game tomorrow.
Of course. Yeah, last week we had a nice fast game. 6 o'clock kickoff, and we were wrapped up with our broadcast in its entirety by what?
And after all that, they're waving the flag off. After all that,
wow,
no penalty.
Okay, guys, can we play some football
okay.
now? So pick up the flag, move them back forward, and it'll make it, second and four. Or second and three, actually.
I don't know. Yeah, it'll be right around second and three, second and four, somewhere in that area.
Roland Rivers in the pistols, and he's got sidecar left, Wes Hills. Takes the snap, and he'll hand it off to Hills, and he's going to avoid a tackle, and he's going to put a stiff arm out and get across the 10. And guess what's flying, ladies and gentlemen? A yellow thingy.
Really nice block. Getting out in front of that one is Tony Pilato, who's in the game right now, and he does a nice job of collapsing that edge and securing it for Wes Hills, who's able to get upfield and get the first down.
He's got the first down, but let's see what the penalty is. That's a personal foul against Mercyhurst, so we'll inch it even further. First down and goal now for Slippery Rock. Wow. Marty Schatzel's just got to be going crazy because I don't ever remember seeing a Mercyhurst team this penalized in a game,
yeah,
let alone the first half.
We're not even 10 minutes into the second or 5 minutes into the second quarter.
So the ball going to be spotted at the 3-yard line for Slippery Rock, first and goal. In motion goes A.J. Alexander, and it's going to be Roland Rivers on a keeper, and he's going to go backward.
He got caught. Yeah, he got caught in between. I think it looks like the play design was for Wes Hills to slip out on a little out pattern, and Hills got caught up in his block, and so Roland Rivers was caught in between. Do I run it? Do I throw it? And just the whole thing got blown up. So sometimes that happens.
So that moves him back to the 5. It'll make it second and goal. Well, actually, they spotted it inside the 5. It's right at the 5. Second in goal. Sidecar right now for Hills. Now he's going to shove back to the left. And here's the snap to Rivers. And he'll hand it off to Wes, and he's going to go into the end zone. No, he play faked. I had Wes Hills going in for a touchdown. Instead, play fake Roland Rivers, and he hits the tight end, A.J. Alexander, for a 4-yard touchdown pass. What a great fake.
Yeah, Alexander in the backfield coming across like he's going to block, but then just slips by the linebacker in a really, really nice play design is what that is, because you have Alexander coming across trying to square up on a linebacker, so that backer thinks that he's blocking, but instead Alexander just curls out around him, and then easy catch there as Rivers puts it right on the numbers, and he skirts into the end zone untouched.
That is a 4-yard touchdown reception, second touchdown pass of the night from Roland Rivers, and it's the tight end. Oh, we got a good kick. It went up through. Boy, I saw one of the Mercyhurst guys jump up, thought maybe that was going to get a mitt on it, but it's good. So Jake Chaplin's streak continues, and it's now 21-0. We'll return after a 30-second timeout. You're listening to Slippery Rock University football on The Rock Station 97.7. About to say something that I can't imagine I'm even saying, but the penalties by the Mercyhurst Lakers tonight are aiding Slippery Rock University, despite the fact the Rock has had a share of their own. But that drive set up by a penalty right out of the gate after a return by Jermaine Wynn and a targeting penalty against the Lakers. And so that drive goes for only 36 yards, six plays, but it's 21-0 Slippery Rock. Here's the boot, Chapla to Redwood, and he's got some running room. No, that's actually, yeah, that is Dante Redwood. We've got a Mercy Hurst Laker down on the return. Cortez Watson, one of their running backs, he's now down, but we've seen some players drop here tonight. That was a good return from about the 8-yard line. He brought it out across the 25 to the 30-yard line.
Bob, when you play Mercyhurst, it is not for the weak. That's for sure. I mean, the way that these guys play football, it is 100% speed, 100% of the time. Hit people as hard as you can, run as fast as you can, do everything as best and hard and strong as you can. And because of it, unfortunately, what you get sometimes is, especially on these special teams plays where you have Mercyhurst and Slippery Rock players running full speed down the field at each other, there's going to be some massive collisions.
So far today, Glenn, Mercyhurst, this will be their fourth time on offense, and they have a total of 62 yards. The Rock, 234.
Wow.
So here comes Dega Tavilla, and he'll have Garrett Owens in the backfield. First and 10, they start at their own 30. They send a tight end in motion. Here's the play action. Altavilla throws downfield high and incomplete. And he was trying to get the ball to wide receiver Clay Waldron, but it's incomplete. And you can see the frustration starting to mount. Waldron just kind of looking back at his quarterback with not real happy invitations.
Yeah, Altavilla, it's almost like he was trying to throw it over top of the defender. I mean, he really kind of went up on his tiptoes and stretched that arm way up and tried to throw it really high, and because of it, ball just sailed.
So second down and 10. Fullback Theo Blackston is in the game, along with Owens in the backfield. Altavilla in the pistol, and he'll hand it off to Owens, and he goes into the pile, and that pile goes nowhere. Nowhere. Zero gains. It's third down and 10.
But now here on third and 10, what's going to be a key for this Rock defense is going to be discipline on Garrett Owens and making sure to keep an eye on him. A few times tonight, what they've done with him is that little wheel route out of the backfield, trying to have the defense lose track of him along the sideline. So whether it be a backer or a safety, somebody make sure you stay with 21 on this play.
Garrett Debian and Jeff Marks in on that tackle right in the middle for the Rock defense. Third and 10. 9-minute mark of the second quarter. The Rock up three touchdowns. Tight end goes in motion again. Here's the snap to Altavilla, and he's looking for that tight end. Now he's going to look him off and throw downfield, and it's going to be intercepted by Kyle Hall, his second interception of the year. Altavilla threw that one right to him. Kyle Hall watched him the entire way.
Yeah, and unfortunately, though, I'm going to put a little bit of the blame. The ball was high, but I'm going to put a little bit of the blame on Clay Waldron, the wide receiver. He gave up on that route. Just for some reason started slowing down, and all of a sudden, the ball's sailing over his head, and not what you're expecting to see from a Mercyhurst team that usually goes, gives 100% effort every play. And look down here, you also have Cortez Watson after that kickoff, very slowly walking into the Mercyhurst locker room. So we're going to hope he's okay. Obviously, he got a little banged up on that return.
So the Rock going to take over first and 10, and they're at the Mercyhurst 44-yard line. Here's Roland Rivers. He's looking big. He's looking big. Throwing it downfield. Man wide open catches it for a touchdown. Henry Lindland, he's got a touchdown in all five Slippery Rock University games. Or no, is that
Mike Murhat?
I'm sorry, Mike Murhat.
And Murhat just absolutely, the defense loses track of him. They had trips on the far side of the field. He was the middle man in the set, and he runs this little out and up pattern. The safeties are paying more attention to the wide receivers and completely lose track of 13 as he was by himself in the end zone. And Rivers almost underthrew him, too. I mean, he had to kind of wait up on that ball a little bit, too.
I apologize to Henry Lindwin. He doesn't quite have the sixth touchdown of the year just yet. That was number 13 on the far side of the field. Mike Murhat, the Pine Richland grad. Kick is good. Mike Murhat now with three touchdown receptions this season.
It's easy to do from a defensive perspective, and we talked about this a little bit last week because Seton Hill did the same thing.
Mike Murhat's not a big guy. He is your prototypical slot receiver. Smaller, quick, good hands, really good in the middle of the field, running those crossing patterns, the slants, and quick outs. So it's easy to lose track of him on a deep route because you don't expect him to do that. And if he does, you don't expect the ball to go his way when he does that. So that little out and up, very easy for a defense to lose track of a slot receiver running that pattern.
And boy, Roland Rivers has to put a, he's going to be putting a harness on this Rock quarterbacking job, even though he was third on the depth chart. Now 13 of 18 for three touchdowns tonight, 201 yards, and he just looks sharp.
And think about it. Taylor King came in that second half of Shippensburg and absolutely lit them up. I mean, and as good as he played, he's still going to be behind Rivers on the depth chart because Rivers is, yeah, he's one of those guys that he's a dual threat, good arm. He's total package.
Well, you look at this Mercyhurst team. They played close games out of the gate this year, losing to Hillsdale College, who are nationally ranked, 14-9. Tiffin University, who are currently undefeated, 24-20. Bloomsburg beat them. I'm talking Mercyhurst beat Bloomsburg 14-10. And then last week they get walloped by IUP 34-7. And now it's 28-0 Slippery Rock. Here's the return, though, on the outside. And that is Garrett Owens on the return. Remember, their last return man came off the field hobbled. So he does a nice return across the 25 to the 30. And let's see where they spotted. They say he went down at the 28. Mercyhurst will start out 1st and 10.
Listen, Mari Schatzel has years and years of experience, so I'm not one to question him, but are you really trying to put your stud running back there to return kicks as well? I mean, Owens has been your primary source of offense tonight. I'm not sure you want to risk him getting injured on a kick return.
Mercyhurst so far, Garrett Owens, three receptions for 35 yards. He's carried the ball, six times, still for negative yardage. 1st and 10, though, here we come. And he's in the backfield with Atavilla, who's in the pistol. And it will be play action. Atavilla looks, no, that's a new quarterback in, throwing way downfield, and it's caught by number 23, Clay Waldron, who holds on at the 30-yard line.
It was Atavilla.
Was it Atavilla?
Yeah.
I thought I saw number 16 for a moment. Nope, it is not. Their backup actually is number 7 anyway. Well, that was one of the best throws we've seen out of Atavilla. He emailed that one.
Mercyhurst going tempo.
Well, they have to, down 4 scores. Atavilla, pump fake, throws, almost picked off. Nick, it is incomplete.
Yeah, really nice read in the middle there by Dalton Holt, coming up from that safety spot, reading the quarterback's eyes as Atavilla was just staring him down the whole way. Holt almost comes away with the interception.
That was, a 42-yard pass from Atavilla to Austin Hentz.
Yeah, going back to that real quick, too, it looks like maybe some miscommunication between Spearman and Kyle Hall. Spearman released the receiver as if he had safety help over the top, and Kyle Hall was nowhere to be found. So
I actually had, wasn't it 23? Clay Waldron had made the catch. I don't know. I thought it was. Here's a handoff to Owens now. He goes across the 30 down to the 28. He'll pick up 2 yards there and almost back to even.
So obviously Mercyhurst is not a team that's going to come out and just start airing it out down by 4. They're still going to run the football, but they're going to run tempo now. They're going to try to get to the line a little bit more quickly as opposed to their slow it down, grind it out style of offense.
Yeah, it was Clay Waldron who caught that for 42 yards and then the incompletion. And now it's 3rd and 8. Mercyhurst in Slippery Rock territory, second time today. Here's the snap. Atavilla pump fakes. Now he's going to run forward. He's going to try to run for the first down. He's going to get it as he breaks a tackle. Zaffram had a hand on him. Now, Zaffram, give him a little bit of credit. He's been playing with a busted hand, and it looked like he reached out with that hand and just couldn't squeeze. And so as a result, Atavilla gets the ball down to the 15, a gain of 13.
Well, they run trips to the far side, and trips is typically a screen set on offense. And so what they do is they have Atavilla do that hard pump like they're throwing the quick screen. You get the defense flowing that direction, and then it's the quarterback keeper going back the other way.
1st and 10, Mercyhurst on the moves. 6:57 mark of the second quarter. The Rock up 28-0. Play action. No, he did hand it off. Garrett Owens, big back that he is, just powers his way across the 15 down to the 12. A gain of only 3, but that was an impressive 3. Now we've got a timeout taken by
the Rock training staff coming out on the field, and they're trying to trace down Tristan McDonald, and he won't let them.
Look at him. He's just backing up, and they're going to make him come out.
Yeah, that was an official timeout. That's why I was waiting for the motion, and then you saw the trainers come out. So, yeah, Tristan
he just kept walking away.
He's looking down right now, so he must have taken a bit of a shot there, and we'll keep an eye on that for you because Tristan's been so impressive this year. So a little breather for him and an official timeout. Now they wind the clock. 6:40, and it turns. Second and 7 from the 12 for Mercyhurst.
It's going to bring Arson Sanders into the game. He's the backup to Tristan McDonald at the outside backer position.
They send Jacob Hull in motion. And Aldavilla wants the end zone. And he throws it far side for Waldron. He's got it. Did he hold on? He does. That's Clay Waldron. And he's going to pull it in for a 12-yard touchdown for Mercyhurst. And they get on the board.
Yeah, corner pattern from the slot receiver on that far side, and that's the safety's coverage. That's Kyle Hall. Whenever you have that slot receiver breaking towards the sideline, and Kyle Hall just unable to run underneath that one and catch up to make the play.
So that's two big plays on this drive to Clay Waldron, who was the guy who was frustrated seemingly with his quarterback. I'm sure they're making friendships again. And here's the extra point try. It is good, and that cuts the lead to 21-7. So a six-play drive of 72 yards, and Mercyhurst is on the board after the 12-yard touchdown pass dug out of Villa to Clay Waldron. We're back with the kickoff in 30 seconds. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station 97.7. Back here tonight, we want to thank Butler Steel Supply, Butler Agway, Negley's Bottled Water, Valvoline Express, Next Tier, Lutz Automotive, also Honda North, Slippery Rock True Value, law firm of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, and Shear McAvoy for sponsorship coverage of Slippery Rock University football. The Rock up 28-7. They're going to get the ball back after the Mercyhurst touchdown with 6:21 to go in the second quarter.
I mean, when you got an exciting team like this, I don't see why you wouldn't want to sponsor them, right?
That's
right. The way that they can score some points this year.
And so back deep for the Rock will be Eric Glover-Williams and Jermaine Wynn. They're standing at their 5, and it's going to be Jermaine Wynn who takes it at the 4, and he's across the 10, 15, comes near side 20, goes into the pile, and is going to be dropped at about the 25.
A little bit of a gut check time now for this Rock team. The ideal situation, obviously, Bob, is to keep this always at that 4-score lead. So you just had Mercyhurst with a touchdown. Got to come back out here, respond with one of your own, go back up by four scores. So a big chance and a big response needed here by this Rock team. Because, and the reason I say big is because too often when you have, especially in college athletics, when you have a team go up big, you can tend to take your foot off the gas pedal a little bit. Still a lot of football here, so there's no harm in going out here scoring a couple more touchdowns.
Oh, here we go. Ronald Rivers is in the backfield with Brandon Fuffman, and he takes a shot at the end of the play, and a flag is going to come in, and they're going to nail one of the Mercyhurst Lakers with an unjust, unkind word toward Roland Rivers at the end of that play. The ball was incomplete. But, boy, he took a big shot, and that's number 38. Austin Drew, linebacker, come in and just blatantly leveled him.
It was late. I don't know if I truly... I get it. I'm the Slippery Rock guy, but, I mean, I don't know if that was roughing the passer. I mean, I thought the timing was pretty good. I don't know. Whatever. We'll take the 15 yards.
Yeah, well, they're going to move it up, nonetheless, to the 40-yard line as a result of the penalty. The ball was incomplete, but it'll keep it first down and move it up to the 40-yard line of Slippery Rock. And no, it's going to move it beyond that to the 45-yard line. So add 5 more to that. Make it midfield with 6:06 to go in the opening half. Here's Rivers. He's in the shotgun. Looks to throw. Screen pass out to the far side. And it's caught. And I believe that's Jermaine Wynn.
Yeah, it's Jermaine Wynn on the catch. Out there, Dakota Clannigan couldn't quite seal off that block. On the positive side, though, really, good timing and throw by Rivers. He put that one right on the numbers for Jermaine Wynn. That way he didn't have to chop his steps at all. Could just keep moving forward.
Gain three on that play. Second down. And here's play action. Throw downfield. Caught. And this time on the far side, I believe it's Dakota Clannigan, who pulls it in, and that'll be a Rock first down.
Simple little hitch pattern. Gets 2 yards beyond the line or the first down marker, turns and makes himself a target. He's a big body, so if you're a quarterback, all you have to do is just put it right on his chest pads, and he's going to box out the defender and get the first down.
That was actually Austin Scott, and they gained 12. First and 10 for Slippery Rock, Roland Rivers. And this time he does hand it off to Braden Fuffman, and he goes right up the gut and pushes it across the 45, inside the 45 to the 43. A nice gain of 7.
Really nice job, too, of coming down the line of scrimmage by Podgorski and making that block that opens things up for Fuffman to get upfield. So nice job by this offensive line. I know we've had some injuries to these guys here tonight, but, man, they're starting to gel together and really opening up some big holes for these backs.
Here's the snap. Rivers, he's going to throw a screen to the far side. That's Dakota Clannigan, and he catches it. He goes out of bounds, and he's got another first down for Slippery Rock.
Saw the mismatch on that side of the field because they only had one defender, and then they had the linebacker trying to cover from the slot position. And, I mean, on a quick screen, that linebacker has no chance of getting out there in time to make a play. It's an easy first down.
And it's a gain of 8 for number 8. Now they will play action. Screen pass, and that's number 8 again on the near side, but this time it's contained for just 2 yards.
Maybe just trying to set some things up because right now they're really running those quick sideline screens. Dakota Clannigan, Austin Scott. Maybe all of a sudden one of these times you're going to see, instead of blocking, one of these slot receivers just take off downfield, and a flag at the 25.
Austin Scott going to come off the field, and now we have another flag coming up as Roland Rivers was standing by the officials, and they might flag him for the discussion he had. Austin Scott was coming off being replaced by Henry Litwin. Said we've got double flags on this play, and this might be going against Slippery Rock. They are definitely flag happy tonight here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. The Rock leading 28-7 at the 3:48 mark of the opening half.
Sometimes in that situation, what you have is an officiating crew that's trying to take control of the game. You know, and you know, coming into it, you know, Mercyhurst and Slippery Rock, it's going to be a hard-hitting game. So maybe they think we're going to throw a bunch of flags and try to really dictate how the game's going to go. Well, obviously, it's not working. You know, so at some point here, you start to pull back from being so flag happy as Austin Scott's down here by himself over on the offensive bench, sitting alone.
And the officials continuing to discuss their midnight snack at this particular point.
If you're so quick to throw flags, how do you not know what the call is?
Yeah. So now we're going to finally get the retrieval. And if he waves this one off, now they're going to come to the sideline before they even tell us what's going on. It has been a challenging year here in Division II so far, watching the black and white stripes.
I thought Millersville game was well officiated. I thought last week was well officiated. The Shippensburg game is a whole other story. But what's different is that the Shippensburg game, I thought the officiating truly impacted the outcome of the game. Tonight, they're just ruining the flow of the game. I don't think they're truly impacting what's happening on the field. I think it's just they are slowing things down so slow.
One drive, you could say that, and that was the last drive that they set up shop after the targeting, but it was a good call.
Right.
And so that play impacted the scenario. But I think you're right on that and it really hasn't affected anything outside of that flow. And maybe that's impacted Mercyhurst than it has us.
Right. I think overall, truly, Slippery Rock has been the better team, and the scoreboard reflects that. It's just that, the flow and it's so hard to get into a rhythm for either one of these teams as these guys just continue to talk it over and throw flags and gather, and we are still sitting here not ready to snap the football.
And they moved the ball back to the 38, so I'm not sure because the referee went to the far side to discuss it. We still don't have a call. So So they picked up one flag. Am I right on that?
Yes.
And they called unsportsmanlike on the rock?
Yes.
So they picked up one flag, and apparently, I guess, maybe Roland Rivers said something to the official after the fact, and that's what they ended up penalizing. So that's the second time they picked up a flag tonight. Here's Rivers now. He throws to the far side. Henry Litwin on the timing route, and that one thrown behind Henry. He broke out of his turn a split second too late. It's incomplete. Henry, of course, trying to catch a touchdown pass for the fifth consecutive game, but they've just not been able to link up. And we saw that last week too, Glenn. It took a little time to get Henry into the game, and then eventually he did.
Well, and that one partially on Rivers. He did not step into that throw at all. Threw off his back foot, almost a fadeaway style throw. So, you know, I have a feeling that if he stands up in the pocket, delivers a strong throw, might complete that one, have a better chance of getting the first down.
And it was not Roland Rivers who was called for the unsportsmanlike. It was Austin Scott. Now to the pass to the outside. Braden Fuffman grabs it on the screen pass, and he gets some of the penalty yardage back, but it's going to be well short of even the original line of scrimmage. He goes out of bounds about the 33-yard line. So the Rock now,
see what they do.
They're going to go for a long field goal, maybe try to get Jake Chaplin back into this.
Yeah, it's going to be, let's see, they'll put it down at the 40, so this will be a 50-yard attempt.
Right at the 40-yard marker, so make it 50, and let's see what happens here. It's from that far hash.
Love it. We got a great camera view right here.
Yeah, let's see how it goes. Thank you. Here's the snap to Mike Merhot. It's a good one. He puts it down. Here comes the boot. It's right down the middle. Jake Chaplin, 50-yard field goal. He missed one tonight. He got this one back, and that, I'm sure, is his coach trying to get him back onto the positive side of things.
Yeah.
50-yard field goal by Jake Chaplin, and that increases the Rock lead now to 31-7. We'll take a 30-second timeout. Come right back with more Rock football here on The Rock Station, 97.7. So really, you look at some of the plays on that particular drive. It goes for 9 plays, 42 yards. You had the pass play to Austin Scott for 12 yards, and then back-to-back plays to Dakota Clannigan for a total of 10 yards and a 7-yard carry by Braden Fuffman. Kind of a quiet drive, but effective, and it set up the 50-yard field goal. And here's the kick from Jake Chaplin. It's taken at the 10-yard line and a good running room by the return man. That's Redmond, and he's going to be dragged down across the 30 out to about the 32-yard line. And that's where Mercyhurst will start out first and 10. So 9-play drive by the Rock, and Glenn, they have put pay dirt on all but one drive so far. That's the missed field goal.
They're moving the ball extremely efficiently against this Mercyhurst defense. More importantly was to just get some points there. After you had Mercyhurst come down and score a touchdown on their last possession, granted it would have been better to get a touchdown, but still to come away with points as a response from giving up the touchdown, nice job there by the Rock offense.
So the Rock in control of things right now. And we start out with Dugout Avila, first and 10 at his 32. And he hands it off, and the slipping with the ball was DeAndre Cooper into the game. It looked like he went to make a cut there.
Yeah, Turf Monster got him. I mean,
and
that's
just went straight down, no gain.
He was trying to cut upfield, and just his feet left him. And in college football, as soon as a knee or elbow touches down, you're down. So.
And isn't it interesting when they have Garrett Owens in that backfield and they hand it off to him, he's more going straight up the gut where they've run some sweep plays with the other backup backs.
Yep.
Second down. Now they're going to hand it off to Owens, and he goes right up the gut, and he's got a lot of room, and he is turning on the afterburners. He's going to run it in for a touchdown. 70 yards right up the gut. Number 21, Garrett Owens. He just blew by everybody.
Boy, and you worry, Bob, about this defense losing their edge, maybe getting a little too comfortable, up 28-0 and then 31-7 after these last two possessions. But, man, I mean, you can't fall asleep like that. That's a gaping hole right in the middle of the defense, and he's untouched, 70 yards untouched. I mean, the defense has got to play a little bit better than that.
We have seen that haunting moment a few times this year, beginning of the year, and it seemed like they had settled that down. But that one was one of those ones where they handed off up the middle, and he was gone. 70-yard touchdown run by Garrett Owens. And now Mercyhurst is sort of back in this game a little bit here with 2 minutes to go to half. 31-14 the score. A 70-yard touchdown run on the second carry from the line of scrimmage on that play in that series.
Not sort of back in it. They're back in it. I'm sure the coaching staff delivering the message right now. Remember, Mercyhurst gets the ball to start the third quarter. So if you can keep Slippery Rock out of the end zone and no points here to finish off the half, put some points to start the third quarter, you're talking about a 10-point game with one half to go. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but, man, that's what I was preaching 5 minutes ago, is that just because you're up 28-0, you can't lose your edge. It's too good of a football team to lose your edge against. Keep that mentally strong game and stay after it.
And I probably jinxed them by saying this is not a team built for comebacks, but when you put together a big play like that, that will inspire your offense. And you look at it now, this is two series back-to-back for the Lakers that they put together. Well, they've hit the pay dirt, and they had a pretty solid drive right before that of nine plays. So, look out.
And, I mean, hey, let's give credit where credit is due. Garrett Owens, my goodness, did you see him whenever he got to the secondary just turn on the Jets?
That was impressive. I wouldn't have expected to see that. Here's the kick now, and it is Jermaine Witt. No, that's Mark Carter. He breaks a tackle. He's across midfield. Boy, he just quietly kind of drifted up the field, and nobody touched him. I thought he was going to be dropped down maybe about the 30-yard line, and all of a sudden, he was still going. Mark Carter, the freshman from Florida, big return. He took that at about his 5 and rolls it up to the 50-yard line, a return of 45. Great blocking right in the initial impact, and then he was up the middle, and I don't know, Mercyhurst just never looked up at him.
You're absolutely right, though, Bob. You know, you look at some guys and you say, man, he runs hard. Like, he just a hard runner. Seems like he's working at it. Mark Carter just glides, man. I mean, he doesn't work hard at all. Those are easy steps and just fast as all get out.
So he returned that 46 yards, actually. And it's Roland Rivers dropping back. He's got a lot of time. Now he's going to roll. Now he's going to throw it downfield. Oh, Mike Merhot just gets leveled. He got separated by the defensive back, Dante Rodriguez, from the ball. Great play. Mike had his hands on it, and he took a crunch.
And that's actually, yeah, Rodriguez, who left the game earlier. There was concerns about him kind of getting a little woozy after a hit, but obviously, he's feeling fine.
And, boy, that's one you worry about your receiver. But, Mike, just come off the field okay. And it's second down. Wes Hill's in the game. Sidecar right to Roland Rivers. He drops back, does Rivers. Throws it down. Has his man. And that, I believe, is Jermaine Wynn. It is. And he's got a positive yardage of about 7 yards.
Yeah, good gainer there on second down to get 7 yards and put it into a much more manageable third and three here.
They'll probably hand it off to Hills here. Let's see. Third down. Clock turns. Minute 32. Nope. They're going to throw. Here comes the pressure. Great block by Hills. He dumps it off. It's Jermaine Wynn again. And he's got the first down and reaches out for more. And he takes it down to the 38-yard line. And that'll be a gain of about 5.
You're absolutely right, Bob. Great block by Hills. And really, that's a great telling sign to see that your running back can withstand a good block like that.
Especially with that shoulder injury he's coming off of. And he picks it up again. And here's a throw downfield. And a one-on-one coverage on the far side. Austin Scott was battling with Henry Caldwell. And it was a good battle. And that one just didn't quite get threaded in incomplete.
Yeah, really good coverage. I thought he was with them step for step. And, again, though, a nice miss by Rivers. Again, if you're going to miss that one, miss it long. You know, don't miss back short towards the middle where the defender can get it. So, good throw by Rivers and just better coverage by the corner.
And it's back-to-back times that Wes Hills has picked up some nice blocks out of the backfield. Second and 10 now. And it will be handoff Hills. And he goes right up, spins out of a tackle, but then the help came. And he gains 4 across the 35 to the 34. It was just a good, hard run.
Yeah, that's a hard-earned 4 runs there, or 4 yards for Wes Hills. Has quickly back to the line. Tempo here for the Rock offense.
Yep, clock turns under 50 seconds. Roland Rivers dropped back. He's got time now. He's going to be hit. Nay avoids a sack. Nope, they're going to get him. Nay looked like he was going to pull out of that and just could not do it. And so the sack will go to, is that Dante Redwood? He came on the corner blitz.
As I'm trying to time it up here, if Mercyhurst is not going to call a timeout, you do not have to run a play here. So on fourth down with the clock running, I don't see why you don't. There goes Schatzel throwing a time or calling a timeout. Yeah, because if you were Slipper Rock, all you do is run the play clock down to one, call a timeout, and then heave-ho one on the final play of the half. So smart there by Mercyhurst to call the timeout.
Yeah, he did call the timeout. Wasted about 14 seconds doing so.
Yeah, I don't know why he took so long to do it.
Yeah. So we'll keep it right here. We've got coming up at halftime another edition of our Hall of Fame preview. In fact, those honorees are on the field and going to be ready to be honored at halftime. Inductions happening this afternoon, including one of the Rock football teams from yesteryear that went into the national semifinals. And we'll have that preview coming up here in just a couple of moments. Next week, Slippery Rock University football on the road. And if they complete the charge of winning tonight, it is going to set up a huge matchup at IUP, and that's an early afternoon game next week. That is a 2 o'clock kick, and we'll have the Coach Sean Lutz show at 1:30. And it will be Glenn Thompson and Tyler Friel on the call next week from Indiana University of Pennsylvania. IUP right now up by, it looks like, a 14-10 score at halftime over Cal, and ranked number 2 in the nation.
Wow. Wow. I mean, what an opportunity then for this Rock team to head up there next week and try to knock them off. But you got a half football here to finish against the Lakers.
Yeah, it's 4th and 18, so now after the timeout, the Rock will punt it. Jake Chapla.
And a timeout taken by Slippery Rock. Why, I mean, what is the miscommunication all about that you have to call a timeout before a punt?
Back deep for the Lakers will be Marcus Plackey. And the clock stopped here with 14 seconds remaining.
I mean, you're coming out of a timeout. How does everyone not know what they're supposed to be doing?
So Mercyhurst gathers their team again after the Rock timeout, and we'll talk things over here. It's been an hour and a half, first half.
More importantly, I think you're in a little bit of a danger zone here for Slippery Rock, because the power of belief right now is over on that Lakers sideline. They're feeling good about where they're at, especially after these last 6 minutes of play.
It's the first punt of the game for Jake Chapla. Takes a high snap, pulls it down, and here goes the boot, and he sends one rocketing. You'd need a spaceship to find this one, and a fair catch at about the 7-yard line. What a boot by Jake Chapla.
Yeah, that was an end-over-end kick high in the air, forces the fair catch. And, you know, really what they're hoping for is that the return man bobbles that in some fashion and they end up recovering. But don't be surprised here if Mercyhurst just doesn't come out and takes a knee, heads into the locker room with the momentum in their favor right now, I would say.
So the Rock leading 31-14. That was a 39-yard punt. That's exactly what he is averaging this year. But he sent that one about 60 yards in the air.
And it will be just a kneel down and a flag. Of course, a flag.
Come on. You got to be kidding me, because they can't end the half on a flag, even though he was trying to take a knee.
12 men on the field by Slippery Rock.
And we haven't seen this bit of confusion from Slippery Rock this year.
And they're going to
wave the flag, thankfully.
All right.
That's the third flag they've waved off. But anyway, we end the half. It's 31-14, and we go to halftime. We'll be back to recap the opening half of Rock football that has been 90 minutes long when we come back in a moment on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.